Fellow Falcoholics, what is up? Welcome to another episode of the Dirty Birds of Brews podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Knight at Falcohol Kevin, joined by my guest. He is Derek Klassen. He does NFL draft for Bleacher Report and, of course, quarterback charting for Reception Perception. Derek is at QB Class, of course. Very easy to remember at. I love that one. Derek, it's been, I think, 9 months since we had you on last time. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Hopefully my takes age a little bit better than last time, but you know, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, you know, we're not perfect on here. You know, I promised Derek that I wouldn't, you know, bring up Desmond Ridder too much, but we might have a little bit of Ridder discourse mixed in here. But I know what everyone really wants to talk about is what are the Falcons going to do at quarterback this year, because it's a big offseason. They moved on from Arthur Smith. They brought in Raheem Morris, got a new offensive coordinator, still Ridder under contract and technically Heinicke, but I think the days are numbered on Heinicke being in Atlanta with his $7 million in cap savings potentially coming down the pike. But yeah, we'll get Derek's thoughts on the veteran market, the rookie quarterbacks, guys Falcons actually have a chance at getting, not Caleb Williams. as much as some people would enjoy that, I don't think that's realistic, but we'll talk about it, guys, and we'll get to the meat of the discussion, which of course starts and ends with quarterback in Atlanta. Before we get too far in, let me get you a quick word from our sponsor, guys. BetOnline. College basketball is heating up, folks. March Madness is almost here, and BetOnline continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With all the up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends that you need, you can follow your favorite team's path to the championship or the playoffs with live in-game betting, contests, and all the best player props out there. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices. No matter who you want to bet on, I know Adnan has cautioned you against betting on the Hawks, but you know, the Hawks have won some games, I guess, recently, so maybe there's hope, but never bet with your heart, okay? That's the ultimate takeaway message. Never bet with your heart, but you're going to do it anyway, so why bother even saying it? But head to BetOnline today to bet responsibly and become part of the team. Remember to use our promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. All right, Derek, well, real quick, I promise not too much Desmond Ridder discourse, but you and I were both like fairly optimistic about Ridder going into the season. It didn't end up working out. What do you think went wrong with Ridder? Do you think it was a lot to do with the scheme, the lack of weapons? Was it a lot to do with Ridder himself? What's sort of your general takeaway from what went wrong with that experiment?
I mean, there's probably a little bit of the scheme. I think it's also like less the scheme and more just kind of felt like Arthur just continued to like dig a hole in his own head where he just kind of like lost control of the team. And I think that probably was not helpful for a second year quarterback like Ridder. But I think the bigger issue was just Ridder himself. I think I still maintain that he's a fairly smart quarterback. Like, I think he still operates like 1 to 2 to 3 plays on time better than you see from a lot of younger quarterbacks, especially a guy, you know, for someone who went on day two. I still think he has that in him, which is why I think like he's going to stick around for a decade and still be on a roster somewhere doing something. And he's obviously a pretty good athlete for the position, has an arm that can fit most windows around the field. The issue is just like, one, I don't think the accuracy ever quite got to where I was hoping it would be. Like, again, it's not the worst thing you're ever going to see. It's not like as bad as Zach Wilson or anything. It's just like not up to par with like Pro Bowl level quarterbacking. He's just not at that level. The other thing is, dude, it's just the turnovers. Like, yeah, if he cut the turnovers in half, he might still be the starting quarterback. Like that functionally is, I think, the biggest issue. Obviously some of them are interceptions. Because he's an aggressive quarterback and is not like Josh Allen level freaky, you just get these moments where he like throws into a window and it's like, you probably can't fit that, so why did you try it? But I mean, Dak Prescott has a lot of those interceptions. And so it's kind of just like something you live with. If they can get enough of the good plays out of that play style, I just think Ridder couldn't quite get there. The other thing is he just like cannot hold on to the ball. Yeah. And that to me is probably never going to change because it sounds ridiculous, but he has long arms and they're very skinny because he's probably like 210. He was probably playing at like 210 pounds for a guy who's pretty tall. You just can't hold on to the ball when you're built like that. Like, it sounds ridiculous, but go look at Jared Goff, go look at Trevor Lawrence. Those are all guys who are built the same way. They cannot hold on to the football when they get hit. I mean, Trevor had some unbelievably ridiculous fumbles this year, in the same vein as Desmond Ridder. And because Ridder is so like willing to hang in the pocket and has a little bit of like, I want to go make a play and do the cool thing, it like opens him up to these moments. Whereas like Goff is kind of skirted around it because he just doesn't have that and he doesn't put himself in these positions. But Ridder really tries to because he wants to go be the hero. And I think it's just like a bad combo for the way that he's built and the way that he plays. So I still think Ridder is a perfectly fine, perfectly rosterable quarterback. I think like he's probably still going to be better than a couple of guys who start games next year. He just never turned out to be, you know, the guy I think we were hoping he could be.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, unfortunately for quarterbacks of like his draft status, the chance for being a starter has probably passed. There's always going to be opportunities that arise. You can't really predict it, but he's never going to get a starting job handed to him again because of that. But I tend to agree with you. Like, there were good things on tape. I think everyone just remembers the turnovers because they were bad, like really bad. And that's why he's not going to be starting. But I think folks that think that he should just be thrown off the roster or he's going to be cut before OTAs, I just don't think that's the case. Like, I know they have a new coach, but the GM that drafted him is still here. Like, and I think people get a little too focused on the bad and don't realize that, okay, well, he's not your starter anymore. So if he's going to be your third quarterback that you're developing, or your even your backup, if you don't find a better option, you know, that's not the worst thing in the world for him to do. Because he can still grow. Like, this is his third season now. Like, I think people are treating it like, oh, well, he failed. It's over, you know. So, you know, whatever. We'll see. But, yeah, I mean, that's kind of the same read I had on it. It's just, if you have the accuracy problems and the turnovers, you just don't get enough positive plays to outweigh it. And maybe in the future that could turn around. Because I agree. I think his decision-making in college was typically very good. You know, it just seems like the pressure of the NFL and the faster speed got to him, like it gets to a lot of guys. So, we'll see how his career continues, but I'm inclined to agree with you that I don't think it's going to end, because of a bad year as a starter. I think he's got more football in front of him, but the more fun discussion is what the Falcons do at quarterback now, because it does seem like they're likely to move on from Heinicke this week. So he's probably going to be out of the picture, and I don't think he would have really been involved in starter conversations anyway. But really, it seems like the choices are you go for a veteran or you try to get one of the rookies. Right now, the buzz surrounding the Falcons with free agency right around the corner is all about the veteran. So I figure we'll start there. And it's shifted from Justin Fields to Kirk Cousins, but both of those guys have been just completely dominating the airwaves, and the Falcons have been linked to both extensively. Starting with Kirk Cousins, a guy that I think has been playing his best football as of late, does have the injury, but I think fans overrated a little bit because he's never really been a guy that's had injury issues before. But he'll be expensive. There's rumors, of course, that he wants another fully guaranteed contract and all this stuff. I'm curious what you think about the possibility of Cousins in Atlanta and if you think that could be a good fit.
I mean, I think he's their best option. Like, if their plan is to try to win right away and capture a division that still doesn't look very good, I think Kirk is very obviously the right choice for that. I think you're right that Kirk has been playing some of his best ball. Kirk is funny because I feel like, you know, 5 years ago or whatever, when he came to Minnesota, I do think he was kind of an incomplete quarterback, and he was like, you know, I don't know if this guy can get you over the hill, all that other stuff. And it feels like a lot of people kind of made up their mind about what he was in that moment. And then because, you know, Minnesota hasn't won anything crazy, nobody's really shifted their opinion. But I think Kirk has really only gotten better like each year. Like, you know, it's only been like 2-3% better. But at a certain point, that really starts to accumulate. And I think Kirk really plays some of the best in-structure football that you're going to find. I think his ability to actually beat the blitz has gotten better. I think his ability to throw under pressure has gotten better. You even see a little bit more creativity, which, you know, he's admitted himself. He was like, I didn't know I could do that until like last year or the year before, when he took some like brain test or something that was like, yeah, you're good at improvisation or something. And he was like, oh, I didn't know that. And so he literally just started creating. And he's, you know, he's not Josh Allen, but like, he does enough to get over the bar. Maybe some of that goes away with the Achilles stuff, but I still think functionally Kirk is certainly a top half quarterback. And I think when he's playing his best ball is near like the top 10. Certainly last year, I think he was playing exceptionally well. So I think if they want to get a guy who can come in right away and actually be a Pro Bowl level quarterback, like a quarterback we know to be that level of quarterback, with all of these weapons, which truthfully I think is better than he had in Minnesota. Obviously, like, Jefferson singularly is better than anyone on the Falcons, but I think collectively the Falcons have a better talent pool. I think the defense is better. I think the offensive line is better. So I think if, they, like I said, if they want to compete, like, Kirk to me is the guy.
Yeah, I mean, how scared are you by that Achilles injury? Because it's again, he's not a guy that's dealt with a lot of injuries, and he does potentially want that 2 to 3 year guaranteed contract. How much pause does that give you, giving Kirk that kind of contract?
I think it depends a little bit on the framing. I think if it's relative to, like, drafting a quarterback, you know, maybe it's a little bit scarier, because obviously, you know, you're going to get a little bit more of a runway with these, with the rookie quarterbacks. You know, maybe they suck as well, but, like, at least theoretically you get more of a runway than you're probably going to get with Kirk. I think if you're comparing him to the other veterans, I couldn't care less about the injury. Like, I think he's probably going to be fine. And, like, I know I just mentioned he does a little bit more creativity outside the pocket stuff, but 95% of what makes Kirk Cousins is what he does within the pocket. And I think the Achilles thing is probably not going to change that. Like, he's never really been a guy who depended on his athleticism to accomplish a whole lot. So if he loses 10-15% of his juice, probably still going to be a pretty good quarterback, because most of what you're getting out of him is in structure anyway. And the Falcons certainly, to me, have the tools, like the offensive weapons, to make sure he can just do what he needs to do in structure. So
yeah, no, I mean, I tend to agree. I think people tend to overvalue, like, cap space in terms of, like, oh, if we lock up this cap space, we're going to be in trouble, versus, like, if we trade 3 first-round picks for a rookie, like, that's less risky somehow. Like, no, it's just different. Like, it's just different.
It's just a different risk. Whatever, exactly, flavor. Right.
Yeah.
Depends on just what you want to leverage.
Exactly. And the other main guy has been Justin Fields again. So sort of more closer to that rookie quarterback, in that he is younger, he's got that runway, but hasn't proven nearly as much as a passer, certainly as Kirk Cousins, but as a lot of guys. He does have that running ability that gives him a good floor, but he's dealt with more injuries than Kirk Cousins already in his career. So curious what you think about that potential pairing. Obviously, the cost is lower, so there's, you know, that to consider, at least for 1 year, the cost is lower. But what do you think about the Fields to Atlanta pairing?
I mean, part of it is weird because, like, you know, they had the chance to draft him and then just didn't. So I don't know how they feel about that. Fields is just tough because I think the potential and the athletic ability is unbelievable. Like, he's probably the second most talented runner in the NFL. I mean, he truthfully might be the first. Like, he just, his blend of size, speed, explosiveness is kind of rare, both as a scrambler and as a design runner. Obviously has the arm to uncork it down the field. And I think when the offense let him do more, like, vertical dropback stuff, you know, instead of, like, trying to work short to intermediate, I think when they really uncorked it and did some of the, you know, Bruce Arians, like Carson Palmer, just chuck it, I think he actually looked okay and had some really impressive moments. I just think with Fields, you're probably never going to get him to play on time in the quick game, especially, but also some of the intermediate stuff, especially over the middle. It's kind of the Jalen Hurts thing, where those are just not, like, he's not a guy who anticipates over the middle of the field. He doesn't want to throw into windows that aren't there yet. And that's a really, really, really difficult thing to teach someone. And I think, you know, with him having started 3 seasons now, 2.5 seasons, whatever, probably just not something he's ever going to figure out, which scares me with the Falcons offense, with the way that it's going to be constructed. The what they want to throw over the middle of the field. So it's kind of a weird blend of skill sets. But, you know, I think we saw some of that in Chicago as well. So I still think there's a lot to like with Fields. But to me, he's more, would make more sense for a team that just, like, wants to take a dice roll. Whereas, like I said, with Kirk, I feel like this is a team that can compete and win the division. So maybe a guy like Fields doesn't make as much sense as Kirk.
Yeah. And I think people don't realize that it could be both. Like, because Fields doesn't seem to have much of a market, like, it's not out of the question the Falcons could sign Cousins and then trade, like, a, you know, late day 2, early day 3 pick for Fields if he doesn't have a market, and just get 2 options in here. It doesn't necessarily have to be one or the other. I mean, obviously, that depends on, obviously, getting Kirk Cousins and there not being a market for Fields. But, you know, I don't think that's as crazy as trading up into the top 3, which is the next place we're going to go, because I like all the top 3 quarterbacks. I like Caleb Williams, but he's off the table. I mean, I think we know the Bears are going to take Caleb Williams. But Drake May, very intriguing. Jaden Daniels, very intriguing. So notwithstanding whether the Falcons can get into the top three at this stage, what do you think about the Drake May and Jaden Daniels to the Falcons conversations? Do you think those guys would potentially be good fits as well?
I think Drake May in Atlanta would be nuclear. He to me is actually slightly, I think he's like a hair better than Caleb. I just think Drake May is absolutely insane. I think the arm talent is out of this world. I think he's a ridiculous athlete, like especially as a straight line runner. His balance and vision is crazy. But to me, what really separates Drake May from the other quarterbacks in this class is like his pocket management is unbelievable. Like it's incredibly efficient. It's incredibly clean. He's never a guy who like wastes space. He never gets pressured a little bit, moves off his spot, and then just runs himself into another defensive line. Like he just doesn't do stuff like that. And you even see like when he's moving, when he's sliding, he's like tucking the ball away from where he's getting pressured. Like he's just a guy who very clearly is thinking about this like a top 10 NFL quarterback. Like he already gets it. And then he just is very willing to throw into tight windows and he's really good at it. That to me is all the stuff that is really difficult to teach a quarterback. You know, a lot of people get on to May about like, oh, his footwork. Like, okay, dude, like, I don't care. Like, it's not perfect. And I fully admit that. And he misses some throws because he gets a little bit out of sync. But I don't think it's prohibitive to him starting right away. I don't think it's prohibitive from him being good right away. It just means that maybe if they fix it, he can get better, which is kind of a scary thought because I think he's already a very good player. So I think May to Atlanta would be unbelievable if that's on the table for whatever reason. Jaden Daniels, I'm a little bit less excited about. I still think there's a lot to like with him. He's obviously probably the fastest player in this class. His straight line speed is crazy. He's obviously very quick. He's a very good deep ball passer. Not like he doesn't have a booming arm, but he just kind of has that very natural touch to throw those nine balls, throw some of those post routes. I think he just understands how to drop it in the bucket, and that's a very valuable skill to have. So, like, those two things alone make him a very explosive player. I just think some of the, like, down-to-down consistency, especially in the NFL, is not going to be what it was at LSU. I think he does well to protect the ball, but I don't think his pocket management exists at all really at LSU. Like he's very much a guy where if he gets pressure, boom, he's gone. Which can work. You know, you can be Jalen Hurts, but there's not a lot of guys that operate that like that and can make it work. So I think that's tricky. And then he just doesn't throw the middle of the field the way that I like. It's again not to bring up Jalen Hurts for the 800th time, but he has this issue. Tyrod Taylor kind of had this issue for a large part of his career where that's just not an area of the field that he threw. So I think there is a lot to like about Jaden Daniels. He, to me, is just more like a mid-first-round player than a trade-up for him top three.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, given what we know at this point, do you think anybody's going to be able to get into the top three that's not already there? Or do you think it's, you know, pretty much that those guys are taking quarterbacks?
The first two definitely are taking quarterbacks. I could not tell you what New England is doing, dude. Like, I can't get a pulse on what they're doing because... yeah. Like they're resetting everything, they're resetting the culture. So it probably makes sense to draft a quarterback. And it seemed like Mayo kind of hinted at that. But then also there's, you know, reports that maybe they're in on Baker Mayfield and like maybe a veteran makes more sense to get them on the right track. Like it just, I cannot figure out what they want to do. So I do think it's possible New England trades it out, but I really have no idea what they want to do.
Yeah. And it's just like that risk. Like you can't, like, that's the thing. Like if you don't sign Kirk or trade for Fields now, then you're just going into the draft, like praying. And I just don't think that's the Falcons that are going to do that. Like last year was there, we're going to hope and pray and see if something happens. And then it didn't happen. So they just went in with Ritter. But like this year, I don't think they can do that. So I think they'll either get a trade done for three pretty soon, or they'll sign one of these guys and then, you know, whatever. But the one other option that I, you know, there's two more kind of options, but taking a quarterback at eight, which it seems like, you know, the NFL, it seems like there's going to be three quarterbacks taken in the top five, maybe even four, if you believe the JJ McCarthy hype, which we're going to get to, but at eight, you know, let's say that McCarthy is there. What do you think about McCarthy going that high? And do you think he could potentially be an option for Atlanta?
I think for Atlanta specifically, I'm actually like okay with it. I'm not all that high on McCarthy. I think, again, kind of like Jaden Daniels, he's more of like a mid late first round guy, like a, you know, top 50 grade that you boost up because he's a quarterback. But I think specifically for Atlanta, he actually makes a lot of sense, because I think his best traits are he's very tough in the pocket. He's very willing to take hits. And I think he's very willing to throw over the middle of the field, and he has very good ball velocity. So he can fit a lot of those tight windows, you know, dig routes, some of the over routes that they'll throw, drift routes, all that other stuff. So I actually think his skill set actually kind of meshes perfectly, like with how the offense is going to be constructed. And like how the skill player, you know, positions are constructed on this offense. They're probably going to want to run the ball a lot, which I think is what he's used to at Michigan, which I think is good for him. So I actually think, even though I'm not like super high on McCarthy, and I think he's probably going to need a year where he either needs to sit or it's just going to look bad, which is fine. Like sometimes a guy just looks terrible for a year and he figures it out, like Jared Goff. But I actually do think like the environment in Atlanta kind of makes sense for a guy like JJ McCarthy. So like I said, even though maybe it's a little high for my taste, it's the one spot where I'm like, yeah, I kind of get it.
Yeah, yeah. And then what about these other potential guys? Maybe if there's a late trade up, you know, into the first or in the second round. I know Michael Penix has a lot of fans. Bo Nix seems to have his contingent. You know, Spencer Rattler's got some hype after the Senior Bowl. What do you think about that sort of second tier of quarterbacks, and if Atlanta should have interest in any of those guys as like a later target?
Yeah, I mean, definitely not in the first round, in my opinion. But I think if they want to roll the dice on day two, I think some of those could make sense. It depends on what they want to go for. Nix, I don't think, is ever going to be like a top 10 quarterback. Like, it's just so hard for me to see what the pathway is. At the same time, I think he has like a very high floor because he's a really good athlete. I think the way he operates quick game is very, very good. I think he's generally accurate, especially in like the 1 to 10 yard area. I think all of that is going to give him like, okay, he can do something for your offense. Like there's a pathway, like he can do everything that Gardner Minshew does, which again is not very high praise, but like Gardner Minshew started a lot of games. He's clearly a guy who sticks around. I just don't know what the ceiling is beyond that, really. Like I kind of think that's just, he is what he is. Michael Penix is the complete opposite, where the ceiling seems kind of insane just because of the way that he can throw the deep ball. His velocity is unbelievable. I love how aggressive he is to certain parts of the field. He's just also a weird thrower because, one, not to do it again and make a meme of myself, but he doesn't throw the middle of the field, which is an issue for me. And then I think some of the way that he handles pressure in the pocket is concerning. And the thing I keep coming back to with that is, so he's like 6'3", which is not short. Like that's over the bar for what you want at a quarterback. The problem is he has a low release. So he makes himself a little bit shorter with that. And then like when he throws, he drops all of his weight down a little bit. So he's like losing 3 inches of height, which sounds like a dumb thing, but it's like, then you're making yourself Baker Mayfield. And he kind of has issues throwing with bodies in the pocket. So it's like, that to me is a big time issue with him. And then you add on the medical. So yeah. Penix is like the dice roll, which so I could actually see the world where he becomes a good starter. It's just like very low percentage. And then Rattler, like you want to believe, right? Like you do. You want to believe, but I don't know. It's been a long and tumultuous road for him. So he's a tricky one.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, I mean, it's sort of, it's interesting. There's a lot of options. It's just like, what is the right one? And I'm curious, you know, sort of what you think about like your preference. Like if you were Terry Fontenot, what would you think? Like, what would you try to do first? You know, and then if that didn't work, what would you try to do second, basically? Because it's not a guarantee any of these work. Like the Falcons could go all in on, you know, trading into the top three and it doesn't work. So what's the backup plan? But curious sort of what your like top options would be for the Falcons, given everything we've discussed.
Like including the veterans?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I would say Kirk first by a lot. Because he just feels like the surest thing. And I think even honestly, like the ceiling relative to most of these other guys, like I think what Kirk is right now is probably a higher ceiling than Bo Nix. It's probably a higher ceiling than you're ever going to get out of Michael Penix. It's probably pretty similar to like what I think JJ McCarthy's ceiling is. So, you know, we can do all this stuff about like Kirk's not that great, but like, being a top half quarterback is pretty good. And I think that's all you could realistically hope for out of a lot of these guys. If not Kirk, I would say probably JJ. you might have to trade up to four to get that done, you know, jump ahead of the Giants or something like that. And that might take a little bit, but I think assuming they're not going to get Caleb, obviously, or Drake May, I think JJ makes the most sense for how they want to run the offense and has the most potential to like actually be a, like a Pro Bowl, like useful quarterback instead of just, you know, Bo Nix being kind of in the Desmond Ridder tier where it's like, okay, he's not the worst, but like, this is not going to cut it.
Yeah, fans are not going to put up with this for very long. You know that. Yeah, they you need more, but yeah, I tend to agree. I think to me, I like the potential of Fields too, so I throw that in the mix. But yeah, I mean, I think the thing with Kirk is like he's going to be going into a scheme that's very familiar too. Like this is not they're not going to have to reinvent the wheel. So the chance for him to hit the ground running and like yes, you've got 2 to 3 years of Kirk probably before you know you have to move on, but because of the timeline being accelerated where you know that you're going to be able to get him in an offense that he immediately is going to be familiar with. It's going to be very similar and you've already got most of the team in place. You got to get more receivers, obviously, if you're going to this 11 base, cause it's basically Drake London and you know, you got Kyle Pitts, you got Bijan, but you're gonna have to get some receivers in here. And maybe if they go for Kirk Cousins, they're able to get, you know, Rome Odunze or Malik Nabers at 8, they cross their fingers and really, really hope. But, you know, this is a deep receiver class. You can get those weapons in here. I think Kirk ends up making a lot of sense. I think there's just this narrative that Kirk like can't do it or he can't win the big game or, he, you know, QB wins. It seems to be what the. So what do you say to people that do think that Kirk can't win the big game because he hasn't done it yet? You know, I believe he's what 1-4 or 1-3 in the playoffs. But you know, I said this on Twitter and people thought I was like making a direct comparison between Matt Stafford and Kirk Cousins. I was mainly trying to say like Matt Stafford hadn't won a playoff game until he did. And then he won a Super Bowl.
Until he won all of them.
So it's like, you know, what do you think about that? Is he good enough to get you wins in the playoffs? Is he good enough to take you the rest of the way if the team is there?
I mean, I think absolutely. Like, I think we want to use the playoffs as like this myth-making thing to really build up stories for players because that's all sports are is stories. And there are certain players who just kind of get left by the wayside because of that. I think Kirk is one of them. I think Kirk is as good or better than plenty of other quarterbacks that we've seen like go on really good runs in the playoffs and stuff. I mean, shoot, Brock Purdy just made 2 NFC championships in a row and the Super Bowl. And I think Kirk is infinitely better than Brock Purdy. Jalen Hurts made the Super Bowl last year. I think Kirk is a better quarterback than Jalen Hurts is. Like Kirk is, like I said, Kirk is as good or better than a lot of these other guys. And just because it hasn't happened yet, I don't think it's all his fault. Like, sure, it would be great if he did have this on his resume by now because he started for a while, but I think there's just it's really, really hard to win in the NFL. And unless you're like one of those top 5, like Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, like even those guys still, I was going to make the point, like those guys can get you really far, but like even to that point, like Josh still runs into Patrick and it just doesn't matter. Or even Lamar's like playoff success has not been that great. Like sometimes it's just really hard to win in the NFL. And like I said, Kirk is as good or better than guys that have done it before. So I just don't care about any of that, you know. Oh, he hasn't done it yet. I couldn't care less, man. Like I know he's a good player, so I just don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. I think fans get so paralyzed with like, is this gonna make us a Super Bowl contender? If not, we shouldn't do it. Where it's like the Falcons haven't made the playoffs in 6 years. Like,
right. Like adjust your bar.
can we like win something? And then we can talk about like this mythical 10 year franchise quarterback. Like, how about we just make the playoffs like once or twice or 3 times with Kirk? And then we could talk about building out long-term success. But like, I think it's fans in Atlanta are getting almost apathetic about it. Like, well, if we don't have the perfect option, we should just wait. No, we have to. You got to do something. And I guarantee Terry Fontenot is feeling the pressure. Raheem Morris is coming in here to win. He's coming in here to win now. Like they can't just wait around and build slowly anymore. That was the past 3 years that their era is done. So, for better or worse, they've got to take a swing on somebody. And yeah, I mean, if you believe the buzz, if you believe the rumors, then it seems like Kirk to Atlanta is a thing. And if he doesn't get that deal done in Minnesota, There hasn't really been a lot of public suitors for him other than Atlanta. So I'm curious, do you think that he would potentially go anywhere else at this point if he doesn't go back to Minnesota, or is it kind of Atlanta or bust?
Yeah, if I were a betting man, it would be Minnesota or Atlanta, or like, I just, it's so hard for me to envision anything else. Yeah, it has to be one of those two, I think.
Yeah, it just, because again, like he does have contract demands and the timeline is short. So it's like he needs to go somewhere where the system is already in place for him and the mm-hmm. team is ready. And that there's only a handful of teams that are able to do that right now that are actually looking for a quarterback. So the tea leaves have been read. You know, I think people think that there's this big difference between getting Kirk and getting like a rookie quarterback, and that one is just way less risky or way higher chance of having success than the other. And I think people need to understand, like, no, like they're not that far apart. It's just different. So,
well, and I think what gets people is it's like, this is such a tired out meme, but it's like, it's the boat or the mystery box thing. It's like, okay, we know Kirk is the boat, but you could draft JJ McCarthy. Maybe he's Kirk Cousins. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just a completely ridiculous, yeah. Like, you can sell yourself that the rookie is going to be something else. You're just bored that Kirk is quarterback 13 or whatever, even though chances are whoever you draft, probably not going to be better than that. Maybe, but probably not. And like, the hope just feels better than like the actuality of having a quarterback as good as Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, yeah. Like I always say, a franchise quarterback in the hand is worth 3 first-round picks in the bush. So, but yeah, Derek, really appreciate your time. Thanks for the lively quarterback discussion. Definitely gave me some takes to think about. And I wonder, there's like this sleeper scenario that I have in my mind. I wonder what you think about it before we sign off. Is they do sign Kirk, and therefore, like, everybody thinks the Falcons are out of the quarterback race. And so maybe there's less pressure to trade up ahead of 8 to get JJ McCarthy. If McCarthy's still there at 8 and they have Kirk, what do you think about that double dip idea? Because you could be passing on a top receiver. You could be passing on, you know, the top edge rusher to get McCarthy. But would you think that would be worth it to kind of maybe secure your quarterback present and future with that sort of pairing?
I mean, I wouldn't hate it. Like, I probably wouldn't do it, but I get it, because the thing I have kept saying about McCarthy actually is that his ideal situation is Minnesota, yeah, behind Kirk. But I mean, it's the same thing here. So like, whatever. But no, I think it makes a lot of sense. You could do like, you know, the Jordan Love plan with JJ basically, and just let him sit for 2 years. And like, Kirk is the perfect, like, Kirk isn't really a bridge quarterback in the sense of like, you know, Jacoby Brissett is a bridge quarterback, right, or whatever, for people. When you sign Jacoby, it's like, okay, we're playing him for 7 games and then the rookie's going to play.
Literally.
When you have Kirk, you know for a fact this guy is starting until you just think it's time for the other guy to be ready, which I think is perfect for JJ. So again, maybe 8 is a little rich for me. Maybe I would like for them to just draft the Malik Nabers if he's there. Something like that. But I totally get it if this is the approach they want to take, because there's really no such thing as taking too many swings at quarterbacks. So yeah. I really wouldn't blame him for it.
Yeah. That was what I just had thought of, is like, oh wow. Cause if they get Kirk, no one's going to suspect that they're still interested in a quarterback. So that could actually help them get one if the one they want is there at 8. But yeah, if Malik or Roma Dunze is there, it's going to be mighty hard to pass up on that. So, you know, I guess we'll have to see how the board falls, cause that might determine a lot as well. But Derek, thanks again for coming on, guys. He's Derek Klassen at QB Class. Anything you're working on, Derek, you want to share with the people?
Yeah, I mean, you can always check out our Bleacher Report stuff over at Bleacher Report. Obviously, I do all of our skill players, but we have a great staff doing all the other positions. We actually just posted a big board today, I think. So you guys can go check that out. And then obviously over at Reception Perception, I'm charting all of the quarterbacks this year. I'll probably get to 8 or 10, something like that. I know for a fact 8. Filling out the rest of the 9 and 10 has been a little bit tricky, but I've got 3 or 4 profiles up now, and then Jaden Daniels is coming. Bo Nix is going to be coming after that. So yeah, you guys can look forward to that.
Perfect. Well, thanks again, Derek, for coming on, guys. I'm Kevin Knight at Falcoholic Kevin. We will have another show coming out late this week, wrapping up free agency. I'll be out of town, obviously, for the most of free agency again, because they just happen to overlap with my usual travel dates, but you know, whatever. It can't be helped. Falcoholic.com's got all that coverage in my absence. But thanks again for tuning in. Like, subscribe, leave that 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice. Check out the channel memberships, the Patreon, all that good stuff. And again, thanks to Derek for joining us today. We'll see you guys next time on the Dirty Birds and Brews podcast. Have a great day, folks.